Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Nun Gimel in Zvachim. Next Mishnah. We're going through the Mishnayos of the fifth parak of Zvachim. Right, we have some familiarity with the Mishnayos as we say these Mishnayos every morning right before Pesukah de Zimra. Okay, not all of us, but good number of us do it. And the first Mishnah, the Mishnayos over here are super organized. The first Mishnah took us through the Kachikachim, and it starts off with on the Kachikachim scale, the highest level of Kedusha, right? And it talks about the Chatos HaPnimius, the inner Chatos, where the blood is taken inside into the Heichal, and on certain occasions on Yom Kippur, brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the first Mishnah in the Perek dealt with Kachikachim. So what we're going to do now is systematically go through after the next set of Karbanos. And as you'll see, we're going to keep descending down in Kedusha. We start at the highest level of Kedusha, and we're going to keep going down from there. So we're on the Mishnah, Nun Beis Amud Beis, and the second Mishnah. Chatos HaTzibor V'Hayachid. Now we're going to deal with Chatos HaTzibor V'Hayachid, the individual Chatos and the communal Chatos. And of the two, we're going to start with the communal Chatos. Elo and Chatos HaTzibor, Sirei Rosh Chodeshem V'Shal Mawados. So what are communal Chatos? When do we have a communal Chatos? So again, there's the big communal chatas that we've been talking about earlier, which is a parhelim davish of sibor, where the blood goes inside. But right now we're just dealing, we've handled already all the chatas where the blood go inside. Now we're dealing with quote-unquote regular chatas. Regular, I mean, when I say regular chatas, I mean the blood is just sprinkled on the outer mizbeach. The blood does not go inside into the heichal. So, where's that? Well, I'm sorry. What are they? They're the chatas of Rosh Chodesh and the chatas of the Moados. We have a Rosh Chodesh coming up on Thursday, and in the Beis Hamikdash, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, so they would have a special chatas that they would bring on that day. All right? In addition to seeing it in Chumash and seeing it in the Mishnah, it also comes up in our davening. Right? We have an additional musaf that we say on Rosh Chodesh. That's keneged the musaf and the extra kabbanos that are brought on Rosh Chodesh. One of the extra kabbanos that are brought on Rosh Chodesh is a chatas. Same thing is true with Rosh Chodesh. With every Rosh Chodesh that comes, you also have a Chatas Sibor that is brought. Now, rules of the Chatas. So here are the basic rules. So first of all, you shefta in the north. So you go northbound of the Mizbeach. Again, three-way Machlokas Tanayim. Where exactly north are we talking about? Are we talking about directly up from the Mizbeach? Are we including over here the west side? Are we including over here the east side? So again, Machlokas Tanayim. Shechitas Metzafon, V'kibol Dama, V'kli Sharis, Metzafon, and also you have to do the Kabbalah Sadam in the north as well, and as we discussed earlier, in the Masechta, in the Perek, the Kohen who is collecting the blood also has to be standing in the north as well. The Damam Tam Arba Matanas. Now, we're talking about the application of blood. We're talking about the application of blood of the Karban Chatas. You have to hit all four corners of the Mizbeach, and you have to hit the upper portion of the Mizbeach. As I described the other day, the Mizbeach is a very big edifice. It is 10 amas in height. Okay, sorry. 10 amas in height, which is approximately 20 feet, somewhere in the range between 15 to 20 feet. Let's say it's 20 feet. Let's just make it simple. There's no way you're going to be able to hit the corner. I mean, no way I'm going to be able to hit the corner that are 20 feet tall. That's just, most people can't hit 20 feet up in the air. So how are you going to do it? How are you going to apply the blood to all four corners when it's 20 feet in the air? So the only answer is going to be you're going to have to go up onto the Mizbeach. And you're going to ascend up the Mizbeach. There's a ramp running up towards the Mizbeach. Tomorrow we will be discussing more about the actual configuration of the ramp. And what you would do is you would walk up the incline of the ramp, and that would take you up to the top of the Mizbeach. And you would walk around the perimeter, the top of the perimeter of the Mizbeach. That is called the Soveiv. Yeah, I feel like we're learning Midos right now, but it's basically, yeah, we are. In other words, this is really, this Perek and Midos can really go hand in hand. You walk around the perimeter of the top, which is called the Soveiv, and as you hit each corner, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, what you do is you go up the ramp, you're going to make a right-hand turn, okay? And you're going to now hit your first corner, you're going to hit your southeast corner, then you're going to hit the northeast, then you're going to hit the northwest, and then you're going to hit the southwest, and then you're going to pour the rest down the Yesod. So you're going in a counterclockwise. Thank you. I'm upside down right now, so it's easier for you. So you're going to go walking in a counterclockwise motion around the top of the Mizbeach. Okay. The Mishnah is going to tell us like this. So So now here we go. The Mishnah is going to basically give us a step-by-step map quest direction in terms of how you're going to navigate yourself around. All of the kevish, you go up the ramp. Ufana l'sovev, and you turn to the sovev. Now, the turn is to the right. I'm telling you it's to the right because I know the first corner you encounter is going to be the southeast corner. So it's obvious that your turn is going to be a right-hand turn. The Gemara later on will talk more about where we learned this from, where you make this right-hand turn. Rashi over here quotes it. It's the second Rashi on the page. Uvalo lekaren jomis mizrachis. Shabahi pogea rishon kedekamalan lekaman. Kol pino shatapone yuhuderech yamin. Every turn that you make, you have to make a right-hand turn. Right, v'hakevish b'darm k'shol abo fun of l'mizbech have a yamin or l'mizrach. So, in other words, so now as you're going up the southern ramp, but you're heading in a northbound direction, and you're going to make a right-hand turn, so you're going to go east uvala yamin or l'mizrach uvala also keren v'holech umakiv b'sofiv derech yamin ufun of l'mizbech v'nadarom l'mizrach umizrach l'safosim etzafon l'marav dainu derech yamin. It is interesting, by the way, because that first right-hand turn will necessitate you to make then a whole series of left-hand turns. Okay, fine, but when you go up there and your choice was which way to go, to the right or to the left, so then you go to the right. Those left-hand turns afterwards are really just a derivative of your first right-hand turn. Right?
If you would have gone up on the left side of the ramp, you could have hit the other corner and then made a right.
You could have, yes, but in other words, but once you get up to the top of the Mizbech, now your choice is to the right, to the left, and as we're going to learn later on, you make rights, you don't make lefts. So, Shayari Adam HaYashofech HaYasod Dramis. Now, as far as the Shayari Adam is concerned, the leftover bloods, like we've been talking about all of yesterday and the day before, so what do you do with the Shayari Adam? So we are now resident experts on Shayari Adam. So we know that it's poured onto the southern base of the Mizbech, the southern Yesod. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to get to that. Okay, it's a good point. I'll get to that. Now, this is a Karban Chatas. You eat the Karban Chatas, not you in the plural, but you really to the Kohan. Zichrei Kohuna eat the Karban Chatas. They have to eat it inside the Azara. B'chol ma'achal. Now, it could be prepared anyway. Rashi points out this line of the Mishnah, b'chol ma'achal, means in contradistinction to the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach, as we will learn later on in the fifth paragraph, that has to be roasted. Sli. It has to, and it cannot be cooked in any other way because the Torah tells us that's how you prepare the Karban Pesach. So later on, when we get to the Karban Pesach and the Mishnah wants to tell us the word Sli, so in contradistinction, our Mishnah over here is going to tell us that when it comes to other Karbanos, notably over here, the Karban Chatas, it's prepared, B'chol Ma'achal can be prepared anyway, L'yom Ulayla Ad Chatzos. And you have now the whole day and the whole evening up until Chatzos. Now, the truth of the matter is that you have the whole night. This is a Karban Chatas. Karban Chatas, the parameters of when you're allowed to eat it, is Yom V'Layla, day and night. As Rashi points out over here, the first Mishnah and Brachos we learned it, is that the rabbis made a siyag around the Torah. A su siyag la Torah, one of the first Mishnahs in Perkei Avos. And one of the siyag la Torahs that are made over here is that, you know, once the morning comes around, the next morning comes around, it's Nosar, with a prohibition of kares if you eat it. So the Chachamim stepped in, the Chachamim said, you know what, just to make a little bit of a safeguard to the Torah, so we're going to say midnight becomes now the deadline. Right, the rabbinic deadline, so that you will not come to eat the Chatas after the day breaks. Good, that is the Mishnah. Just one point in the Mishnah, which just to explain a little bit better. It says in the Mishnah that you eat it within the Azara. The Mishnah's language was not eat it in the Azara, it's lifnim min haklayim, within the curtains. Right, where are the curtains? What curtains are we talking about over here? So Rashi says that this is a borrowed terminology. Lifnim min haklayim. If you look at Rashi, lefishim b'mishkan hayu klayim hekef lachaser olam moed. Yeah, because when they built the Mishkan, which was the movable base of Mikdash, the transportable base of Mikdash, so there they actually used curtains. So the Mishnah's usage of the words curtains over here is really a borrowed terminology from the Mishkan. Over makom haklayim hayso chomas azara be'beis shlamo be'beis olamim. So when building the actual Beis HaMikdash, so it was real walls, real stone, hard walls. But nevertheless, the Mishnah is using the terminology that is borrowed from the Mishkan, because the Mishkan's curtains really gave us the parameters of what is the chatzer, what is the courtyard.
Okay. Does the Beis HaMikdash refer to the second Beis HaMikdash or the third Beis HaMikdash?
I think the second, but you know, it's fair to, it's a fair question. Right, why is the second one called more Beis HaMikdash than the first one?
Or the third one.
Fine. I don't know. It is. I did notice that in Rashi, that it's Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaMikdash. Right. Right. I don't know which one he's referring to.
The pasuk Mechal Beshivtecha Olamim, when I think when Shlomo HaMelech dedicated the...
Right.
Yeah, that's probably the Lashon.
Right. Okay. It's a very fair question. The Gemara starts off, Hei Chiyavid. Okay, now, the question over here the Gemara is going to be dealing with is the application of the blood. Okay, so as we've already pointed out, this is a chatas, so this is going to hit all four corners. And just another piece of logistics in the actual Mizbeach. The Mizbeach itself has, we keep calling it the Kronos, right? Kronos, a Karen. Karen means can mean a corner, can mean a horn. In the top, if we can imagine, if this is the top of the Mizbeach, this table over here, all it is just a block. The block goes up one amma, goes this way an amma, goes, it's a square block, goes this way an amma, goes this, it is just simply a block that is one amma by one amma by one amma. It is a perfectly square block. From floor to the top of the block actually makes up 10 ammas. So that means to say that when you're walking around the actual perimeter, you're really not 10 ammas above ground. You're 9 ammas above ground. It is only the blocks on the corners that make up that 10th amma that goes from the very top. So the fall, when you fall off your Mizbeach, I don't know why I'm just so obsessed with that, but the fall from the Mizbeach is only going to be an 18-foot fall. It's not going to be a 20-foot fall.
How okay. wide was that, right?
That, the Sovev.
How long?
I don't know.
I mean, you have to be really not a set of height, I guess.
Right. There's a Mishnah Pesachim that talks about them falling off, but that's falling off the ramp. But still, it was a bad fall. Okay. We start with the Gemara Hechiavid. So now, what the Gemara is going to be dealing with is a very logistic question of how did you apply the blood? Meaning, here's what the Kohen would be doing. As we discussed, he would be walking up the ramp, he would be encircling in a counterclockwise direction around the top of the ramp, and he would be applying it to the corners. Where in the corners would he actually apply it to? So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, so it's a machlokis Amorayim. So the Amoraim is described like this. One opinion is, again, we don't know who says what, but one opinion is that as long as you hit the side of the Mizbeach, one Amma in this direction, one Amma in this direction, if you will, as you go down the side of the Mizbeach, as long as you're within the range of where the Kronos are, as I described, the Kronos are one arm this way, one arm this way, as long as you're anywhere in that range, you're fine. Even if you're below the actual Kronos itself. Meaning, so you're going to be hitting the side of the Mizbeach, as long as you went in the Kronos. And the other opinion is, no, you hit the Chudo shall Mizbeach. You got to hit the actual edge. Okay, the actual edge. Now the Gemara.
In the first opinion, if you hit the chudo, you are right. Oh
yeah, now, the Gemara itself will make that very clear. That's absolutely correct. Now the Gemara says background, right? Really, the Gemara should have presented this the other way around, but again, the Gemara has its reasons, and I don't always understand them. But in other words, first, what the Gemara did is told us a machlokas amarayim, but really, to understand the machlokas amarayim, you really need to appreciate the machlokas tanayim. There is a machlokas tanayim between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi. Okay? The Amar, so the Gemara now is going to work a little bit backwards over here. Aliba de Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the Amar, he atzma eino nases ela begufo shel keren. They say that you have to hit, I'm sorry, he says, Rabbi Elazar says, you have to hit gufo shel keren. So the kuli amalo pligi, then there really is no machlokas between the Amarayim. Ki pliga liba de Rebbe, mar saver ama elech va'ama elech keneged keren hu, or mar saver keneged chuda in tfeilo. All right. And the whole machlokas is within Shita's Rebbe, where Rebbe says that you don't have to hit the corner. It's not necessary to hit the corner. As long as you're at the top half of the Mizbeach, meaning from the ground up, you're going to go 5 amas high. As long as you're within Amma number 5 to Amma number 9, and of course the corner would count as well, that would be good as well. And what they're arguing about now, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, is within Rabbi Shita, that you can go to the top half of the Mizbeach. Does that mean the actual edge? Mm-hmm. Or no? It's going to be good enough if I go either on this side or on this side, but I stay within an Amma of the edge. The Gemara says that's the machlokas. That's the whole machlokas between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan. They are only arguing within Shita's Rebbe. Meisah, the Gemara says, well, I'm going to challenge you based on the Braisa. The Braisa over here is going to basically give us the same information that we saw in the Mishnah, but a little bit more. And from that little bit more, we're going to see it seems to side in one direction. The Mishnah, the Braisa goes like this. He would go up the ramp, funnel the Sovev, and he would turn and he would go around that perimeter of that Sovev. And he would go to the southwest corner. Sorry, southeast corner. Mizrachis. Vitova the Etzba Hayamanis, Hamiyumenis, and he would dip his finger in the blood. The most right of his right.
Dexterity.
So we know the most right of his right. We know that, of course, he uses his right hand. All the avodas are done with the right hand. There are a couple of things that are done with the left hand, but most avodas are done with the right. And so you dip your right hand into it, but not your right hand, the right of your right. In other words, the thing that you use most on your right hand, which is your finger, your pointer, if you will. So hayamanis amayumesh shebiyamin, min hadam shebimizrak, and you go into the blood in the bowl. So we have now a simple... Oh, my coffee's really going to be the model over here. But you dip your finger right in, and now your finger is going to be full of blood. V'chomer begodlo melamala uve'etzba'o ketana melamata. This part of the Mishnah I have a hard time visualizing, and Rashi over here helps a little bit. Mosheich es adam shebe'etzba kalpe lamata shipo kulo mizbeach. The word chomer, which the Braisa here uses, lasha nechamru b'nei maya, not really sure.
Can you do it with a little finger? I don't get it.
But basically the idea is that now you have a finger full of blood, and with your thumb you're going to be pushing the blood down.
I don't understand. How about the other one?
The etzba katana, I don't know. Maybe, no.
I couldn't do it.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Point still is, let's just get to the basic point, even though I don't fully visualize this. The point is that you use your other fingers to help glide the blood off your finger. And you hit the edge, and this is why we're quoting the Braisa over here. Because the Braisa says unequivocally that you're going to hit the edge of the Keren, which is basically what we've been saying.
So if he's standing on that ledge, he's going from the top down?
When you're standing on that ledge, actually, you're almost like wrapping your arm
around
the Keren in order to get that outer edge.
You can hold on to it.
And you make sure you don't fall. Right.
That's why they're there.
And you use all the blood on your finger. So in other words, with each dipping, you're going to exhaust all the blood on your finger. And repeat that all 3 times for the next 3 koranos. But what comes out from this braisa, the braisa says it very clearly. You hit chudo shel keren, you hit the edge of the keren. So now the Gemara is going to say essentially what we said earlier. Mitzvah b'chuda. Correct. Correct. So you're going to ask, the Kohen's going to sit there and say, what's the best way to do it? Best way to do it is hit the edge. But there's a range which is acceptable. And the range which is acceptable is an amma in either direction. Again, as I mentioned, the way the Gemara presents to us the information, machlokas amarayim, and then within a machlokas tanayim. So the Gemara now is going to work in its kedarka b'kodesh, in its sometimes reverse way, and that is now it's going to introduce us to the machlokas tanayim.
So this is
Sharika? No, this is application.
The machlokas Rabbi was if lechatchila you have to do it.
And the
Karen.
Yeah, it's the right.
Rabbi Shita.
Within Rabbi Shita.
So Rabbi Eliezer holds what?
And Rabbi Eliezer says it's got to be the actual Kronos, and I guess according to him it's got to be the edge of the Kronos. Unclear about that. My Rebbe Shimon, so now good, so introduce us to the Machlokes Tanayim. The Tanya Dame Malyonim, and Tanya Mechot HaSirka, Ulamala, Dame Matechon, and Tanya Mechot HaSirka, Ulamata, and Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, you just simply have a line of demarcation. We keep calling it the Chot HaSikra. It's a red line. So at halfway up the Mizbeach, at the five Amma point, they would actually have a red line. It was painted. A painted red line that went around the circumference of the Mizbeach that would go five Amas up and separate. There was the Dam HaYoram and Dam HaTachtonim. Dam HaTachtonim, the lower blood, that was basically from most of the Karbanos. Almost every Karban's blood went to the lower portion of the Mizbeach. Chutz, except for the blood of the Chatas. The blood of the Chatas went on the upper part. Just to be more specific, however, not just the blood of the chatas, but the blood of a chatas of an animal. That blood went on the upper portion. There is one other carbon whose blood goes on the upper portion. That's the olas ha'of. The bird of offering also goes on the upper portion. That's it. Those two carbonates go on the upper portion. Everything else goes on the lower portion. Rebbe says when we say upper portion, we only mean anything above the midway point. That's it. According to Rebbe, doesn't have to be the Kronos, doesn't have to be the horns, it just has to be above. The source for Rebbe, the Gemara, we'll get to in just a moment. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Amer, Bamedvar, Mamorim, Be'olas, Ha'ov, Ava, Bechatas, Behima, Hi Atma, Einasis, Ela, Al Gufo, Shol Keren. And Rebbe Lazar says, that I will concede that with the Olas, Ha'ov, you're right. It has to go in the upper portion. Anywhere above the halfway point. But when we get to the Chatas Ha'ov, or Chatas Behema, it has to be on the Karen. So on the block protrusions on each one of the four corners, there and only there does the blood of the Chatas, is the blood of the Chatas applied. I'm a Rebbe about my time at the Rebbe. So now, what's behind Rebbe? Rebbe says that even for the Chatas Behema, you can go in the upper portion. Where does he get that from? So Dichsiv, the Pasuk says like this. Now here we quote a Pasuk from Yechezkel, and in general, just difficult to understand Pesukim from Yechezkel, and the Gemara is going to darshan it. The Harel Arba Amos, and the Harel is four Amos. Harel is a reference to the Mizbeach. Right? Can't tell you more than that. I don't know the etymology. Mountain of God and but okay, raised area. Vehar el arba amos umehar el lamala arba amosu. So the Gemara says, how do you understand that pasuk in Yechezkel, right? And the mizbech is four. Mizbech is not four amos. Mizbech, as we've been discussing now, is 10 amos. Mm-hmm. 9 if you don't want to include the Kronos. So where does the number 4 come from? So dahavya. So amrav adar barava umakum Kronos. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Pasuk could be talking about the Makom Kronos. Arba, so the Gemara says, Makom Kronos Arba. Makom Kronos Dalet Havya? Again, that's not true either. Ela Ema Rishus Kronos Dalet. So what we're saying is the domain of the Kronos, meaning the Kronos themselves are protrusions that come off. But in terms of legal domain of the Kronos go down four Amos. So in other words, when you get to each corner, and after the protrusion, if you drop down another foramos, that's also called Kronos. That's also called the horn. So in the world of Lamdus, we would say that anything above five amos is Kronos, has a din of Karen. So that means that when you hit the side of the Mizbech and you're below the Karen, but you're above the Chot HaSikra, you're in the world of Kronos. You're already starting to hit the Kronos. Okay. Fine. And that is the and that pasuk in Yechezkel is Megala. Sorry, totally took over. That pasuk in Yechezkel is Megala. That the that for Shitas Rebbe, that's going to be considered for what is the Rebbe Lezer going to do with that pasuk in Yechezkel? The Gemara does not continue the discussion. I don't know.
So that's accepted four amos down.
Who, of the two, which position does the Rambam take? Unclear. Unclear. I'm using my cheats and they're not helping.
Actually, in the Yecheskel, you have contradictions.
Correct. All the psukim. Correct. The psukim in Yecheskel are difficult. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that they wanted to put the Sefer Yecheskel in Geniza. They spent time working through some of the more difficult psukim in Yecheskel. Right. So what you'll say is that he's just a megala. It's just a. We don't. Navi can't be mechadesh halacha, but Navi can define halacha. Can help us define. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're saying over here. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah. Okay, Midos. Well, this is Mishnah's and Midos, which, God willing, we'll get to. We'll get to later on. The Mishnah Midos tells us you have the Chuch Sikra, which is Choger. It's like a belt. It's like a belt around the Mizbeach. And it's in the middle in order to separate the Damim Elyonim from the Damim Tachtonim. Minahan Emili now. Where is this idea coming from that we have to put some sort of belt over around the midpoint of the mizbech? Amar vacha barav ketina shenemar vahaisa hareshes ad chatsi hamizbeach. And you put some sort of reshes. There was some sort of meshwork that was wrapped around the mizbeach up to the midpoint of the mizbeach. Hatara nitna mechitza lahavdil bein damim elyonim. If the whole point of the meshwork is to differentiate, to demarcate the upper and the lower portion of the mizbech, so we have in the mizbech used in the base of Mikdash, although there's no reshet, there's no meshwork that's placed around, but nevertheless, you have the chut ha-sikra that serves as to demarcate. Shayare hadam. Okay, the shayare madad tan rabbanan, yisom mizbech, ze yisod dromi. Okay, from this point forward, for the rest of today's daf, we're going to be discussing where exactly I pour the Shayari Hadam. Now, if you look carefully at the picture over here, you will see that there's a Yesod, there's a foundation. As I described already before, the Yesod is nothing more than just simply the base of the Mizbeach, which protrudes, which juts out. It only juts out along the northern wall and along the western wall of the Mizbeach. It does not protrude out along the southern and eastern wall. The simple question is, why not? Yeah, I'm going to get to that. Good. So the simple question is, why not? In other words, if it's just a question of a base, so you'd like the base to protrude beyond all four sides. And it doesn't. So stay tuned tomorrow. We'll discuss why. How come the Yisod doesn't go here and the Yisod doesn't go here? As Benful accurately points out, the Yisod actually extends a little bit southern. So in your southwest corner, you do have an extension. So there is a little Yisod in the south side because of this little extension over here. And going eastbound, you do have a little bit of extension of the Yisod on the east side. So, to say that there's no Yisod in the south is not true. There is a little bit of Yisod in the south, in the southwest corner. Same thing is true in the northeast. In the northeast, you do have a little bit of Yisod. In the southeast, right by the state of Florida, no Yisod whatsoever.
Oh my gosh.
Correct? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing over here. We are okay, and again, in terms of why, so that comes up tomorrow. Tomorrow's daf. I'll tell you tomorrow the why not. The Gemara's gonna talk about it. And again, no,
no. It sticks out from the bottom.
It's just a base. It's the base. It's the base of the mizbeach.
There has to be like a drain somewhere.
There's nothing fancy about it.
There has to be a drain somewhere.
Yeah.
The next.
If we're looking at the side of the mizbeach, so here's the side of the mizbeach. That's it.
And there's a canal.
There may be a canal, right?
Pouring all
but
that.
But there's a drain.
You're pouring it, as we discussed, but you're pouring it over here. We learned yesterday. You're pouring it on the horizontal, you're not pouring it on the vertical. And obviously what's going to do is that the blood's going to run down over here. And what I know, although not exactly where, is that there's a canal somewhere along the side of the Mizbeach, where then the blood, it picks up all the blood and it sends the blood outside of the Azara. But that's all the Yisod is. It's nothing short of just a simple protrusion.
You think there's a grade over the canal, or it just goes straight down?
I mean, if they're, you know, if they're good engineers, they're gonna.
Well, there's no railing around the base.
Okay.
The
Sovev have some sort of
some
right. I think so. And Midos, we'll talk about it more. I don't remember clearly, but yes, that's it. Okay. So now, so here, this is so for the rest of today, our discussion is going to be where exactly do I pour the Shayari Hadam? Okay, so where exactly? So your options are going to be. I'll give you the short of it.
West.
In other words, we know it's going to be the west. Okay. As we discussed already once before, the chatzos apnimios, where the blood is applied along the peroches, along the mizbeach hazahav. So when you go out, the first yisod you're going to hit is going to be this yisod, the western yisod. Okay, good, so, perfect. And then it's just but there is going to be, as you'll see later this morning, there's going to be a thought process out there that really you should go on to the south and hit the southwest corner of the Yesod. What the Gemara refers to simply as the south. The southern Yesod. When we say the southern Yesod, there's really only one point that we're talking about. And that's that little extension of base that goes down and hits that over there. Good? And there was a...
There was a hole in it.
There, right, there is a... There are holes over here on the top.
No, I think it's...
And there are holes on the bottom as well?
No, just at the bottom.
Yeah, well, there are definitely holes on top because of the water that was poured there in Sukkot as well. Okay, unsure. Now, the reason why the argument that the Gemara is going to make, again, I'm just previewing. The argument the Gemara is going to make is that as you walk down the ramp, and now you want to turn and pour down the Yesod HaMizbeach, this south is the first one you're going to encounter. So, in other words, much like when you walk out of the Heichal, the west is the first thing you're going to encounter. When you walk down the ramp and you want to turn to the Yesod, the south end is really the first one you're going to encounter. Okay? Let's see all this inside.
Are you turning away all the time? Aren't you turning away all the time?
Only at the top.
That was right.
No. That's when you go to the top, you turn right, and then you go around. And then you're going to go hit the bottom of the ramp, and you're going to... I mean, yes, it's true, you are going to turn right.
Right,
you're going to be making a right, but you want to go to the closer end. Tanur Rabban and Shayari Dan Tanur Rabban Yisod Mizbech Zay Yisod Deromi. So we start off with the Braisa, and the Braisa is convinced it's the southern. Okay, how do you know? Maybe it's the west. So the Gemara says it really is a question of what you encounter first. When we walked out of the Heichal, remember we said the other day, you want to hit the first thing you encounter, the first yisod you encounter, which is west, so when you go down from the ramp, and now you want to do the mitzvah of Shayari Hadam, you want to hit the first yisod that you encounter, which is going to be the south. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Amar Zevezei Yisod Ma'aravi. We have a machlokis over here between Tanayim. Rabbi Shmuel says it's the west. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer Zevezei Yisod Deromi. Both the chitzoni and the pnimi, both the outer chatas and the inner chatas, end up with the same address, and that is the southern yisod. Bishlam alamandam yisod ma'arivi, kasam yilad meitzasam and amafurash. So the Rebbe Shmuel position that everything hits the western, so that I understand. Because the heichal, as we already discussed, is going to hit the western. So when you come out of the heichal, you're going to hit the western. When you go down the ramp, same thing. You're going to hit the western. So the Gemara says, but how do you understand Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that everything goes to the south? Okay. Interestingly enough, there's another basic machlokes. Where's the Mizbech placed? So in this little schematic that I have in front of you over here, so we have the Mizbeach pretty much centrally located in the Azara. In fact, just from a right, just from a simple, you know, just from a guesstimate, I would say even somewhat centered south of the midpoint. In other words, if we were to draw an imaginary midline going across over here, so you see that the Mizbeach is actually centered somewhat south of that. There is an opinion out there, which the Gemara now is assigning to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that you're going to take the Mizbeach and you're going to place it up here. If you do that, so now when you walk out the Heichal, what's the first Yisod that you're going to encounter? It's going to be the southern Yisod. Correct. So the Gemara says that really, in principle, Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Yishmael. That it's an issue, it's a function of what's the first Yisod you're going to hit. It's now just going to simply be a question of where's the Mizbeach? Where's the placement of the Mizbeach? Some of these machlokes are so interesting because they had the... It's hard to understand. They had the Beis HaMikdash. And you can just go there and you can see it. And Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who was a student of Rabbi Akiva, I'd venture to say he was there. He saw the Beis HaMikdash. He was a student of Rabbi Akiva. And you,
no, he didn't see it.
And he didn't have a Masor from his Rebbe. These things, as I get older, by the way, surprise me less and less. Meaning, I'm one generation away from the Rav, and I hear the Rav said this, the Rav said that, and you know, so less and less it shocks me that they, you know, they didn't know where the Mizbeach was, or they're arguing. Not they didn't know, but they're arguing about correct placement.
This makes me.
It really correct.
But correct. Depends on the side, right. As if there's
right.
Enough space or not.
Okay. Right. Correct. 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 Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Omer. I'm sorry. I did all this. I'm sorry. Amar Rabbi Yasi. Kasavra. Itana Kula Mizbech B'Tzafon Kai. So the entire Mizbech is in the north. Lishna Achrina. Or just to put in other terms, the Gemara is actually doing that. The Gemara is putting it in other terms. Kule Pesach B'Darim Kai. Or when the Pesach, when you exit the Heichal, you are now south of the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach is up in the north. Mm. You're just giving us two perspectives, meaning the perspective of the Mizbeach or the perspective of walking out of the Heichal. Okay. Top of the next page. Time to be Rabbi Shmuel. Ki Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Omrim ze v'ze yisod ma'arabi. V'simancha mashchu gavrei legavra. The men join the man. Right? The Mashchu Gavrei LeGavra. Rashi tells us, Tamid Rabbi Yishmael Shem Merubim Mashchu. I'm sorry, the other way around. Yeah, no, they're right. The men drew the man. Gavrei, by the way, is plural. Just another, again, every now and then I give you cheats in terms of how to understand Aramaic. Plural of Aramaic is a Yud. Whenever you have a Yud at the end of the word in Aramaic, that means plural. In Hebrew, it's Yud Mem. Right? Gvarim. Right, batim. It's yud mem. Yud mem denotes plural. In Aramaic, it's just a yud. Right? It's a good cheat. It's a good way to help you. So when you see the word gavrei, gavrei means men. Gavra just means man. So mashchu gavrei got le gavra. The men drew the man. So the Talmid of Rabbi, the way the Rashi understands it, the Talmid of Rabbi Shmuel, who were many, mashchu is Rabbi Shimon lomar kedivrei rabban. So they convinced Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai otherwise. Okay, fine. Next Mishnah. Let's go. Ha'ola kache kachem shchitasa b'tzafon v'kibol damam v'klisharis b'tzafon v'damaton shteh matana shein arba v'tuna hefshe v'nituach v'klil le'ishim. So again, the Mishnahs here are so organized. It's beautiful. So now after tackling your major chatas, meaning the chatas where the blood goes inside, and into the Kodesh Kodashim, and then dealing with the regular chatas, quote-unquote the regular chatas, where the blood is sprinkled only around the outer Mizbeach, now we turn to the Ola. Ola is still in the general camp of Kachi Kachim, but in terms of its level of Kedusha, it's as if you would say one step down. One step down because the chatas is actually Mechaper, and the Ola is not Mechaper. Its chief goal is not to be mechaper.
But actually, isn't all the higher because all of it goes to Hashem?
Okay, you're right. You could certainly make that argument. But the Mishnayos also look at blood applications. Right. The main guiding force of the Mishnayos is blood applications. So you see, with the first chatas mentioned over is the chatas hapnimios, because the blood is going all the way into Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then the regular, and then you have the chatas is where the blood go into the heichal. Then you have a regular chatas, but they hit all four corners. Now we're the Ola, the Ola is only going to hit two corners.
Is the Ola always completely voluntary?
No. The Talmud is a Ola. Oh. The carbon tamid is an olah, right? And that's
an individual brings it. It's not
an individual brings it only as a voluntary offering, right? But as a communal offering, it comes as a chiyuv.
This is lamata or lamata.
This is going to be lamata. Everything's lamata except for the chatas behema. Ha'ola kachet kachin shchitasim b'tzafon. So he shecht in the north, v'kibol dama b'kli sharis, and the kibol and the blood is collected in the north b'tzafon. V'dama ton shtei matanos, and the blood applications are two. Dalet shehin arba. Mishnayos love that expression. Two, which is really four, right? You'll remember your first Mishnah on Shabbos, right? Two, which is four. Our first Mishnah in Shavuos, right? Same lashon. Two, which is four. So over here, when we do the application of blood. Shtein metanashein arba, two which is four. Meaning that there are actually going to be two applications in practice, but because you're going to be hitting opposing corners, you're actually going to be hitting all four sides. More of that to follow. Utahuna hefshet vinituach. Now it's a carbon olah, so you have to do hefshet, you have to flay the animal, remove the skin off the animal, and nituach, and you cut it up into pieces. Right? So you go to the market and you buy your chicken in eighths. Right, the butcher was nice enough to cut it for you. So in the Beis HaMikdash, when they, before sending the entire animal up on the Mizbeach, because that's its destination, because it's an Ola, but before doing that, you cut it up, I would say into eighths, but I don't know. In other words, it was cut into pieces. The Mishnayos, later on, will talk about the actual, which piece is held by which Kohen and brought up. Mishnah discusses it in great detail. The kala leishim, it's burnt totally up on the fire. Ola maitaima tanile kache kachim. The Gemara picks up on a great little nuance, which I don't think I would have picked up on. Let me give myself a little more credit. The every other the first Mishnah. That actually uses the term kache kachim, meaning when it talks about the chatas, the Mishnayos never describe it as kache kachim, and now we get to the ola, and the Mishnah is reminding us. Oh, by the way, you know the ola is kache kachim. Like, why did the Mishnah do that? The Gemara gives a great insightful answer. So my time of tanele kache kachim mishum delok siva kache kachim he. Oh, because the Torah never did that. The Torah never. Whenever the Torah talks about the carbon ola, it never says. Oh, this is kachet kachim. So the Mishnayos, if you will, take up the place where the Torah left us off. Meaning, we know it's kachet kachim. The Torah never assigns it the term, the category of kachet kachim. So along come the Mishnayos, and the Mishnayos tell us is there to tell us, oh, by the way, this is kachet kachim. By the way, interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says, the term kachet kachim, in my mind, the way I organized it, it's a category, right? Meaning that you have certain karbanos which have elevated kedusha, and therefore are in a different category. So your chatas hashem and ola are in the category of kachet kachim. Rashi tells me I need to rethink it a little bit. I don't have to make any major changes in the way I conceptualize, but I need to rethink it a little bit. Rashi writes over here, mishani mishum d'lok siva it's derech lashmi inan. Rashi, I'm sorry, if you want to follow with me, it's the second Rashi of the after the Gemara. Rashi writes, "Itzrich lashmina dafila hachi kashi kashim hida kula legavoa ve'ein lecha kashi kashim kazeh." There's no other kashi kashim like this. Uve kashim kalim gafayu ma'ida azo minay legavoa kashi kashim hu. Interesting. Rashi writes that you know part of the shlamim goes up onto the mizbeach. Right, with the imurim, you know, the guts, the insides of the animal. Part of the shlamim go up onto the mizbeach. Rashi says that's also called kache kachim. Okay? Kidanan lekaman beperakatadir, meiser kodim laofos. That if you have a choice of kedim, of which one goes first, your meiser behema, goes in front of birds. Why? Mibneshu min zevach, v'yeshbo kache kachim. Because the Meiser Behema has Kache Kachim in it. It's funny, when I, without this Rashi, I would read that Mishnah later on, I'd be like, what does that mean? But now I understand. Anything going up on the Mizbeach also is called Kache Kachim. So, not to say that I'm wrong in my conceptualization, but just, in other words, we have a nuanced understanding what kachet kachim is, something that goes up on the mizbeach is called kachet kachim. But in my mind, though, still the bigger category of kachet kachim is ola asham and chatas.
Anything that goes on the mizbeach.
That's how Rashi describes it.
Does that mean that part of the chatas is not really kachet kachim? Because
it's great. I had the same question.
What?
In other words, what he's asking is,
right,
we know that some of the chatas is eaten by the kohanim.
Right. Right.
Is that not kachet kachim? Based on what we just learned?
But I thought kachet kachim means as long as a czar doesn't eat it, it's kachet kachim. Kohanim or Hashem is like kachet kachim.
Right, Mishochan Gavol Kazachu, that they're not, it's not theirs, they're just...
Right.
Okay,
that's
right?
That's what Neil thought before this Rashi has a different definition, because he's saying that even parts of the animals that are eaten,
right,
is czar.
Correct, so, correct.
He's saying part of the carbon pesach is kachet
kachim. Right.
Kachet kachim, which would be nort. Should be north and should be on the mizbeach.
Kachet kachem. Up until this Rashi, I thought kachet kachem meant you shecht in the north, chatas hashem ola, and depending on whether it's an ola versus a chatas, you know, some of it's eaten, but only the kohanim eat, and only in the azara. This is the only place you can eat your chatas in this confined area over here. It's so strange. You're not allowed to sit in the.
And they would eat it standing up.
And they would have to eat it standing up. Feet to the floor, standing up. It's a different the conception
of
the chatas.
In the north to eat it, or
I don't think so. I think that just as long as you're within the parameters of the azara, it's fine.
So a carbon solus could never be kachet kachem.
Right, and an oaf can never be a kachet kachem. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like fresh barbecue.
Oaf, which is an ola.
Right. Right. That's right. Fair question. Fair question. Again, what Rashi did for me also, same thing. Rashi just totally confused me. But I understand why he's doing it, because the Gemara later on will say that the part of Maaser Behemah that goes up on the Mizbeach is Kachet Kachem. So, okay, just, I'm sharing. V'damaton shtei matanas hechi avid amar av nasan v'chozer anosein v'chozer anosein u'shmul amar matana achas kimin gama. So how exactly do you do it? Meaning, how do you hit two, which is four? So one opinion amongst the Amoraim is no same v'chozer v'no same. Apply and reapply. And Shmuel says no. It's matana achas kimin gama. It's one application that looks like a gamma. Gamma, actually, over here is the third letter of the Greek alphabet. Alpha, beta, gamma. Gamma, Rashi says, looks like a chaf sofis. It looks like the final chaf. In other words, it's nothing more than just a 90-degree angle. And what you do is that you hit the corner, right? Kemin gamma, meaning, and the way you're going to hit it is you're going to hit it at the very edge so that it actually hits both sides. Rashi describes it not as neatly as the way you may have thought. Rashi says, kemin gamma, four lines down after the lines start getting wide, zorig neged apina min akli, v'adam mit pashet l'shtei ruchos apina. The way Rashi describes it, it just kind of, it's like a bath. You throw the blood at the edge, and it's going to end up splashing the two corners, right? That's the way the two sides, I should say. Thank you. So that's the way Rashi describes it.
Index finger.
No, right. That's the index finger is an application of the chatas blood on the top. This is now the sprinkling of the Ola blood. And the way Rashi describes it, it's a zrika. It's an actual spritz.
How you do it, like this, or you put your whole hand in it?
I'm unsure. I'm sorry. Kitanai, this machlokis over here, between the Amoraim, parallel machlokis amongst the Tanaim. Yachol, yizrika nezrika achas, tamalam estavi, visav yachol, yikifene b'chot, tamalam v'zarku. Okay, so it actually is a zrika. Ha ketzad kemin gamma. So you do it kemin gamma, you do it like the Greek letter gamma, like we described just a moment ago. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Nema Kan Saviv Nema Lalan Saviv Malahalan Pisuk V'Arba Matanos Avkan Pisuk V'Arba Matanos. And this position of Rabbi Shmuel parallels the other position, which is no, that you actually go to the two sides, but it's not one splash that hits the two sides. It's an application here, an application over there. And then you go to the opposing corner, application here, application
that's
there.
Four.
That is, Ima lahalan arba matanos al arba karanos Avkanar b'matanas al-Abba Kranos. Exactly the next step of the Gemara.
Right.
Sounds very much like the Chatos. Sounds like you're going to hit all four walls. Amart Ola Tuna Yesod. So the Gemara says no. Because by the Ola, there is the Yesod requirement. Meaning I can only sprinkle where there's Yesod. And we know that in the southeast there is no Yesod. So therefore I'm confined to only the areas which is Yesod. The Kerem is Rachis Dramas Lo Hayah Lo Yesod. So by the Ola, even though you could have confused it with the Chatas, but because by the Ola there's the Yesod element, so therefore it by definition it has to leave out the southeast. So that leaves us only the two opposing corners.
I don't understand how to answer the question. I thought that the question was that it's really equating four.
Right. You're still doing four applications.
Still four.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I got to the four.
Agreed. It's still four. But where you're standing, however, is that you're only going to be standing in two places.
Right. You got going to two corners.
Right.
Right.
That's the answer.
Good. So fine. So now, so the Ola. Okay, so at the application of the blood of the Ola, now we have learned, subject to a machlokus, in terms of whether it's two applications or four applications, but even according to the one that says four applications, still it's going to be in two locations. Tomorrow we will begin the discussion of why. Why is it that the Yesod only runs along the western and northern wall? Why is there no Yesod along the southern and eastern wall? It's going to be a historical answer. It's going to be an answer of Shvatim, Binyamin versus Yehuda. Good stuff. Please come back tomorrow.